So who has plans to go traveling around the world during this holiday season or in 2016? How have the recent terrorist attacks in Paris affected your plans to travel internationally? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will talk about the state of travel after the Paris attacks this hour. But first, Bill Martens joins me because you make Wisconsin Public Radio programs possible when you make your pledge of support during this year-end membership drive. You can join in and help at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Joy, our goal is 15 pledges this hour. 15. Of course, you give to WPR to support the radio you rely on. And your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 gets us one step closer to meeting the goal and one step closer to funding the programs you count on.
When you listen to the talk shows on Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network, you participate in a statewide conversation, beyond a statewide conversation for that matter. You hear from experts. You also learn from the interesting and diverse experiences of your neighbors all over the region.
You go out into the world a more well-rounded person every day, full of engaging topics to think and talk about. Because you value being well-informed, make a pledge to the station that keeps you connected at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this year-end membership drive, we have a special thank you gift. You can ask for food for 20 when you give $60 or food for 40 when you give $120.
Better yet, break those amounts up into monthly sustaining gifts of $5 a month or $10 a month. Your thank you gift will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. So get started now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've been a public radio listener for as long as it's been around. It's a long time. Public radio for me is pretty much the only kind of radio that that I would choose to listen to. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
Thank you, Penny. You can make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Joy Cardine with Bill Martens asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our year-end membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $500 a month, we appreciate and count on your donation.
You know, when you listen to WPR on your way to and from work every day and some on the weekend, you're listening hundreds of hours a year.
And if you've never given to WPR before, you can make your gift today of, say, $5 a month for hundreds of hours of listening. That makes WPR one of the best information and entertainment bargains that you'll find anywhere. Your gift, no matter what amount you choose, really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, we're looking for 15 pledges by 7 o'clock. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really helps.
And remember that you can ask for the food for 20 when you give $5 a month or food for 40 when you give $10 a month at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
And hey, if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks to a member from Washburn who says, I have been a sustaining member of public radio in San Francisco for years, and I recently moved to Wisconsin. I'm happy to have found some old favorites as well as some new voices on WPR. Well, welcome, and thank you for your contribution. You can join our listener from Washburn at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
We are going to talk about travel this hour, and we'll wonder if you are hesitant about travel following the Paris attacks. Do you plan to travel to Paris or France or Europe despite the recent attacks? Have you changed your travel plans due to the threat of terrorism? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We will talk about the state of travel with Gary Arndt, who is a world traveler for the past 9 years. He was twice named Travel Photographer of the Year, and he blogs at everythingeverywhere.com. And we have talked to him numerous times on Wisconsin Public Radio, as Gary is also an Appleton native. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, good morning, Joy.
It's good to have you back. Well, as someone who travels the world professionally, how do you expect the Paris attacks to affect international travel?
It has seen a decrease in the number of bookings, so it has affected travel, but I don't think it necessarily should.
Yeah, why not?
Because this is a very unlikely event. By far, if you look at the data from the State Department, The number one thing that affects fatalities from travelers, both Americans and other nationalities, are road accidents. And that's something that almost no one ever thinks about when they travel. Yet because this has been in the news lately, people are frightened. And of course, as you mentioned just before the show started, you know, these events happen in the United States as well. So it's not as if staying home is going to keep you any safer. It's just that we're more familiar with our home, so it has a greater feeling of security.
Yeah, I did mention that my nephew, one of my nephews, and his family had plans to travel to Paris. It was exactly a week after the attacks is when they were going to fly there. And so at first there was much concern, and you know, it was, wow, you know, what's going on? I mean, we're all concerned when we saw that happening. But they decided to go ahead rather than cancel, and they said that they felt, you know, maybe safer there than they do at home.
Yeah, you know, for the particulars of Paris, they've upped their security there. So any danger that was going to happen probably has already passed. So the security level is much, much higher now. And like I said, these are very, very infrequent events, and the odds of getting stuck in the middle of it is quite low.
Yeah, and they are from Southern California, just a short distance away from San Bernardino. So, you know, if there certainly this kind of thing can happen right here at home as well. But I mean, how would you feel about traveling to Paris right now?
I wouldn't even hesitate.
Yeah, and have you traveled since the Paris attacks?
No, I haven't. That's because I've been busy moving. But. Yeah, I've been in the middle of these sort of events, in the middle of political protests in Thailand. I was in East Timor during an assassination attempt on the president and the prime minister. So I've been to places where events were occurring. And for the most part, you know, they have nothing to do with tourists and not necessarily something you need to worry about.
Yeah. So what would you tell people who already have tickets to France or anywhere else for that matter?
To go. You know, I wouldn't necessarily change my plans for anything. And I don't know that Paris is necessarily going to be any, you know, we're thinking of what happened, not what is going to happen. And there's no reason why Paris, because something happened there, is any more dangerous going forward than London or New York or Los Angeles. We don't know when something like this will happen. You don't know when or where or any of the events surrounding it. So being unduly concerned because something happened in the past doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, I just get your reaction to a story that's in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning. The Milwaukee Public School District has canceled all foreign travel for the 2015-2016 school year. And other districts are also discussing the possibility in response to the U.S. State Department's travel alert that they issued following the Paris attacks. What's your response or reaction to that?
That's ridiculous. The State Department primarily issues warnings, and you should mention what the State Department warning is, which is basically a global travel warning that something could happen somewhere at some time. That's all it is. And so that, and by the way, it seems to say that the only place that is exempted is the United States, which is, of course, ludicrous, because something could happen here just as easily. So keeping children home is not inherently more safer than taking them somewhere else. So it just doesn't make any sense to me to do that.
Yeah. That travel alert did seem concerning, but then you're right. It was saying, well, just be on the lookout, you know, for possibly suspicious things happening at large gatherings or something along those lines.
Yeah, and the thing you have to understand about most travel warnings is that they're overly broad, and that they're primarily designed so the people in the State Department, in the event something should happen, they can then in hindsight say, well, we told you.
Yeah. And so what about the events like the recent San Bernardino shootings? How do you think that might affect domestic travel?
I don't think it'll affect domestic travel very much at all, but I know that there are some people that are now afraid to travel to the United States, and it's been that way for a while because, you know, they're constantly hearing about these shootings that occur in the U.S. And I think that it just goes to reinforce the point that we are not that scared when we hear about news that happens locally, whereas we're not familiar with a place, so we tend to over-exaggerate the threats. For example, there's been drug violence occurring in Mexico, especially in northern Mexico. However, in the Yucatan, the crime rate is approximately, the last I read, the same as it is in Finland. Because we're from the United States, we know that if there's a bad neighborhood in our part of town, or there are certain parts of the country, or maybe parts of our own state, that you're probably just not going to visit, but other parts are fine. But we're not familiar with other countries, so we tend to equivocate the whole thing. So when we hear of something bad that happens in a country, we paint with a very broad brush and we say that the entire country is just as dangerous, and that's really not the case. And I think that's one of the things that even if it were the case that somehow Paris were more dangerous, that certainly would not mean that going to Nice or going to a village somewhere in Burgundy would be just as dangerous.
I'm Joy Cardine talking about travel with Gary Arndt. He is a world traveler. He blogs at everythingeverywhere.com. If you have a question for him about traveling anywhere, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And I would be interested if you do have travel plans that you feel confident about proceeding with, or if you do have some concerns. Do you have some 2016 travel plans that you'd just like to share, that you're excited about? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So, Gary, what information should we use to weigh the safety of a destination?
You know, the places that I won't visit are places where there's like an active war going on. So, you know, just to be sure, I'm not going to Syria anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not going to go someplace where there's active fighting going on. But if you were to evaluate the danger of a place by just walking down the street, you could walk down any place in Paris right now and then probably not notice anything. I would also check with people that are on the ground or people who have recently traveled there to try to get an opinion. And to give you an example, last year during the Ebola outbreak in Africa, there were people canceling travel plans to South Africa. Now, South Africa is further away from Sierra Leone, where the epicenter of the Ebola outbreak was, than London is.
Yeah.
Africa is an extremely big continent, but because it just happens to be in Africa, there were people canceling very expensive trips to every part of the continent, even though there were fewer cases of Ebola there than there were in the United States.
Goodness. You know, speaking of expensive, this is going to sound a little bit crass, but is travel... are we going to see travel deals because people are concerned about traveling?
Possibly. I know some people that live in Egypt and Jordan, and they've been telling me that now is a great time to go. People have painted the entire region of the Middle East with such a broad brush that they're afraid to go anywhere, even though those countries are, you know, very safe right now, especially Jordan. I had a friend that recently was in Petra, and they basically had the entire place to themselves. Which is amazing because there were no big tour groups. I was told by some people from Jordan I met at a conference last month that a couple of hotels in Petra have recently closed because there are so few visitors. So, yeah, now is a great time to go to places like that. And, you know, if you've ever wanted to experience Christmas in Paris, I think now would be a great time to do it.
Yeah, well, as a seasoned traveler, do you have any general tips that you would offer travelers this holiday season?
You know, if this is something you're really concerned about, one thing I would do is probably avoid large chain hotels. Stay at like an Airbnb or a youth hostel or something like that. Something that isn't as high profile as maybe a large chain hotel. try to visit smaller places, something without large crowds. And I think if you do those kind of things, if terrorism is really something you're worried about, you'd be safe, because those are much lower, I think, threats than things with much larger crowds that would get much more news attention.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Gary Arndt. He is a world traveler. He has twice been named Travel Photographer of the Year. He has visited 110 countries. We will talk with him when we get back about what his travel plans are for 2016. I happen to know, looking at his blog, Everything Everywhere, that he plans to go to many different places, but one thing he does plan to do is go to Alaska. We'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll talk about your travel plans for 2016, too. What's on your itinerary? What questions or concerns do you have about travel, international or domestic? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and this is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio, and this is our year-end membership drive. It's time for you to think about how much you've learned from and how much you have enjoyed Wisconsin Public Radio programs in 2015, and to think about how you want to keep them going strong next year. So, take action with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Joy, we've heard from four listeners so far.
Excellent.
Looking for 11 more by 7 o'clock. Give to WPR to support the station you love, your public radio. So thank you if you have already given. If you haven't, help pay for the programs you enjoy by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio has been around for a long time because we're committed to quality, and that quality is possible because of you. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget.
Your contribution makes this program possible, and so many others as well. You're part of the quality you hear every day on WPR when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this holiday season, you can give something extra when you support Wisconsin Public Radio. Your donation makes the programs you enjoy possible, and you can ask for food for 20 if you give $60 or food for 40 when you give $120.
These thank you gifts provide meals to people facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. So do two good things with your gift to WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio wakes me up every morning. Mostly, I just enjoy the morning programming and the afternoon programming. I became a sustaining member because I felt so guilty with all the pledge drives, because they're so logical and they're so persistent. It's crucial that we have people support us so we don't lose it. I'm Sarah from Wausau. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this year-end membership drive. And that's right, Sarah, we are persistent. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, asking for your support of WPR. Your gift of any amount helps support the programs that you value.
That's right. You connect with Wisconsin Public Radio for information, great conversations, and entertainment. 9XM leadership gifts of $100 a month or more are critical in supporting that connection for you and others across the state.
So keep our connection strong to you and to all WPR listeners with a leadership gift of $100 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, there are so many important and interesting issues covered on the Ideas Network and on the Joy Cardine Show. Right now we're talking about international travel with Gary Arndt from Appleton. We're going to be talking about the Time Person of the Year next hour, and then we're going to be talking about coffee after 8 o'clock.
Some of my favorite things.
Yeah, it's a good day today. So, you know, you rely on these discussions on Wisconsin Public Radio, and that's why your gift during our year-end membership drive is so important.
So put a strong finish on 2015. So we can continue to bring you the issues and talk in the months to come. Make 2016 another great year. Make your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right, 11 pledges is what we're looking for in about the next half an hour. Help out now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, during this holiday season, you can support the radio station that you love, and you can give something extra. When you ask for Food for 20 with your $5 a month gift, or Food for 40 when you give $10 a month. That's at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
By the way, if you're a sustaining member, thank you very much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Heather in Port Washington, who says, I love the Joy Cardine Show.
Love
well,
Heather.
I love you, Heather. She also enjoys Kathleen Dunn, Larry Mueller, and Central Time. All right, we'll forgive you
All
for
right.
that, Heather. No, thank you so much. Thank you, she says, for being so great. Thank you, Heather, for helping us be great. We would not be what we are without your help, without your contributions. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
We are talking about travel during this hour with world traveler Gary Arndt, who's also an Appleton native. He has been traveling the world almost nonstop for the past 9 years. He's been named a Travel Photographer of the Year twice. He has visited 110 countries, and he's here to talk with us about the state of travel after the Paris attacks and talking about travel for 2016. What is on your itinerary? What places would you like to visit? What are your concerns? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Gary, I wanted to get into some of your future plans, but listeners probably don't know that you have made a big change in 2015. We have talked to you in the past. You have been traveling all over practically nonstop, but you are... you now have more of a home base, don't you?
Yeah, for the first time since March 2007, I now have a home.
Yeah.
Where I'm talking to you right now, in Minneapolis, I have an apartment. So I have a place to go in between the trips.
Yeah, you were originally from Appleton and ended up selling that home. And really, you truly would live in a place for weeks, if not months at a time. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I basically lived out of a bag this entire time. And the only reason I've kind of changed is just because it became very difficult to work. Working out of hotel rooms, both the internet and, just trying to find a... Sometimes I was being in a room that didn't have a desk. So yeah. I'd be sitting on the floor with my laptop, and it was just very uncomfortable.
Yeah, but you will be traveling around like mad in 2016?
Yeah, more next year than this year, actually. This is actually a pretty slow year for me. I tried to slow things down, but I'll be picking it up the pace again next year.
Yeah, I know that I read that you were planning on going to Alaska, which, of course, struck a chord with me because I did my first trip to Alaska this past summer, which I enjoyed very much. But do you want to go visit all of the national parks there?
Yeah, so I'm on a quest right now to visit every national park in the United States and Canada. And I'm exactly halfway through. There are 104 parks between the two countries, and I've been to 52. So this summer, I'm going to visit all 8 of the national parks in Alaska.
That's excellent. Yeah, and that I would love to see. I did not get to see the national. I did get to see Glacier Bay National Park in Alaska, which was quite stunning. I'm going to start 2016 off seeing a national park on another state quite the opposite of Alaska. I'm going to Hawaii, and I'm going to see the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park.
One of my favorite ones. I've been there a couple times. And, you know, the great thing is that it's always different every time you go because of the lava. And even though I've been there three times, I've never seen flowing lava. And I've had friends that go there their first time, and it's like, yeah, we saw lava flowing.
Well, I hope I see lava flowing, too. And I do hope to get to Denali one of these days, too. Just looking at it looks stunning. Well, we do have some questions from people. We'll talk more about some of your future travel plans as we go along. But we have Jill who emails, I have an 18-year-old son who is currently volunteering and exploring the countries of Central America. He is on his own. What advice do you have for safety and anything that can help set my mind at ease? He will soon be traveling to Guatemala via Honduras and El Salvador. Any advice, Gary?
I think the biggest thing when you're traveling is to just use common sense. And, you know, I've been very fortunate in the 9 years I've been on the road almost. I've never been mugged. I've never been robbed. I've never had anything happen to me. And I think a lot of that is just due to common sense. One of the things I always tell people is to stay clear of nightclubs. Every time I hear something bad happening to a traveler, it often happens in a nightclub.
Really?
They're dark. They're loud. Predators tend to go there. If you're a woman, one of the things you always have to worry about is someone slipping something into your drink. The odds of that happening at a nightclub are much greater. The odds of getting pickpocketed, the odds of, you know, a fire breaking out or something like that. They always seem to happen at nightclubs for some reason. A pub, a cafe, a restaurant are usually a better option, and you're probably going to save a lot of money as well. As for worrying less, I don't know what you can do to help that. One of the things I found is that when you do travel like that, and if they're 18, hopefully they'll find other people at some of their places they're staying. If they're younger, they might be staying at a youth hostel, and they'll meet other travelers who may be traveling in the same direction, and so sometimes you meet up with someone and you travel for them a few days, and so you're usually not really alone. Even if you're staying at a place, you're staying with someone else, other people who are on the road.
Let's take a call from Carol. Oopsie. I hope we have Carol in Wausau. Hi, Carol.
Yep, hi there. We're planning on going to France, actually, in 2017. We want to go there for the Tour de France. And wondering if you have any suggestions on how to actually be a good spectator for that race. We're going to be moving around a lot, I know, trying to catch glimpses of the race here and there. Any suggestions?
Get a layout of what the route is going to be beforehand. I don't know if they've announced that for 2017 yet. But it goes through a lot of rural areas, so when you're there, you're either going to probably have to camp out. You may want to look into renting a camper van, which might allow you to kind of you can just sleep in the van rather than having to always find a hotel, which might be harder to do in some of the smaller areas, especially if you're going to be doing it in the Pyrenees. And what they've also been doing with the Tour de France the last several years is that there's usually a leg of the race which happens in another country. So I think they've had some which have gone through Spain, some which may have, like, briefly been in, I think even Luxembourg or places like that. So you might also want to look into seeing that leg of the trip as well. But until you know what the actual route's going to be, and the route changes every year, it's going to be hard to know. And I'm guessing that it's quite popular with both the racing crews taking up a lot of the hotel space and the media. So the camper van might be a really good option for you.
Have fun, Carol. Thanks for the call. Joan on Facebook said, we have the UK last year. We had the UK last year and Asia this year for our travel plans. We plan 6 to 12 months out for one big trip a year, and we look at varying our destination by region. So this is only... I'm sorry, this is written a little bit funny. So this is the only reason Europe is not on our 2016 plans. Fear of travel here in the U.S. is more than internationally. So anyway, she's planning on going to the U.K., or she went to the U.K. last year and Asia this year. That's quite the... any reaction, Gary?
Yeah, I'm actually reading this on Facebook. She wanted to know about finding cheap tickets to Japan for June or July. The thing with buying plane tickets is that for the most part, you're better off buying them as soon as you can. That there's going to be a discount the earlier you get it. So I would just start looking now. And what I do for tickets is to just search different websites, search different airlines. And the biggest thing is to be flexible with the time of day. When you're planning this far out, it might not make as much of a difference, say, if you're leaving on a Saturday versus a Tuesday. You may have a little bit of flexibility with your schedule or your ability to take time off. So if you can be flexible with the dates you leave and arrive, you might be able to get a cheaper ticket that way.
We will talk more about traveling internationally and domestically, for that matter, talking about the state of travel after the Paris attacks with Gary Arndt, who is a world traveler, and he blogs at everythingeverywhere.com. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. So, do you plan to travel to Europe or to France despite the recent attacks? Have you changed your travel plans due to the concern over terrorism? Let us know what you are planning to do or what questions or concerns you have. I'm Joy Cardine, and Bill Martins joins me for a few minutes as this is our year-end membership drive, and we are asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202 is so important as we end this year and look forward to 2016.
We are about halfway to our hourly goal, so that's the good news. We need 8 more in the next 20 minutes to reach that goal. Give to WPR to support the programs you rely on. And thank you if you have already given during this drive. If you haven't, do it now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I hope you've been enjoying this conversation about travel. Travel is certainly one of my favorite pastimes. This hour is an example of the fun and interesting conversations that we have on this show each and every day.
Yeah, now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A lot of people give $15 a month. Some give $100 a month. The amount is totally up to you. As a sustainer, you'll be an ongoing member of WPR, building a stable source of revenue for your favorite radio station. So contribute right now. Become a sustainer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, man. It's already time to get up? I feel like I just fell asleep.
We're looking for your pledge of support. 888-202-2552.
Oh, geez. And it's pledge drive. This is a great start to the day.
We've got coffee mugs.
I don't get it. I pay my taxes in their government-supported radio. I'm already supporting them.
Actually, Janet, that's not quite correct.
Whoa. Hello?
Good morning, Janet. It's true. Your federal and state taxes do support WPR. About a couple of bucks a year per taxpayer. But isn't WPR worth more to you than a couple of bucks a year?
But if a few bucks comes from everyone's taxes, it all adds up, like you always say.
Oh, it does add up, and it's an essential part of what we do.
But did you know that listener support is the single largest piece of our budget?
I had no idea that donating mattered so much.
Yep. Without listener support, well, it's unimaginable. We're asking for your support because it really matters.
We really are talking to you. Don't make us come through the radio. Pledge now. Here's someone to tell you how.
I won't come through the radio if you pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and we are asking for your support of WPR during this year-end membership drive. You decide how much to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio, whatever amount you choose. That will be the right amount.
New members are an important part of these membership drives. Every member makes a difference because listener support makes up the single biggest part of our budget. Your donation makes WPR programs possible. Whether you tune in for one favorite program or you find yourself checking in throughout the day or the week, You're getting value from what you hear. So if you've never given before, start off with a pledge of $5 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Peter in La Crosse, who says, I listen every day. WPR keeps me informed, aiding in establishing formative discussions and relationships with my parents, and I keep updated on current events. Stories are broad and engaging. Thanks for all you do.
Oh, we do a lot.
Wow.
Thanks,
I'm sorry,
Peter.
I said relationships with his parents, and I was like, "What? That? How are we doing that?" But it's his patients. So he's a doctor, apparently. So thank you very much, Peter. And you can join Peter and many, many others in supporting a service that you value, that you are informed by, that you are entertained by donating any amount to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about roaming around the world with a world traveler. We're talking about the state of travel after the Paris attacks. Our guest is world traveler, photographer, blogger, fairly frequent guest with us on Wisconsin Public Radio, Appleton native Gary Arndt. He is still planning to travel, and we'll talk about more about where, and we'll also respond to your questions and your concerns at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Do you have any qualms about traveling anywhere right now? Bruce emails, I have traveled to over 20 countries over the years. I have a trip planned to Paris next year. I would not think of altering those plans because of recent events. Thank you for that, Bruce. Well, what about you? And where are you planning to travel in 2016? Where would you like to travel in 2016? We'd like to hear from you about that as well. So, Gary, why shouldn't we alter our travel plans? What's the big deal if we just stay home and we don't travel?
Because you're giving in to fear at that point. You know, travel is one of the best things you can do. And I think to allow these news events and the events that are happening, you're basically, one, that's how the terrorists win. They have terrorized you at that point, so mission accomplished on their part. And two, the threat isn't really that great. Like I said, if you didn't listen to the news, you'd have no idea that these events are occurring. Statistically, it's just not something which is likely to happen any more than you should not leave your home out of the fear of a mass shooting that could happen at a grocery store or a post office or a school.
So we talked a little bit about your plans to travel to Alaska to see all of the national parks there. Where else are you planning to travel in 2016?
I'll be doing a big trip in the Balkans. So I'll be going into Macedonia, Kosovo, Serbia, Albania, Bosnia, maybe spend a couple weeks driving around there. Hope to be going to Greenland this March, photographing the Arctic Winter Games. I've been thinking about going to Nicaragua sometime in January or February because I've never been there before. Might finally get to mainland China for the first time. A lot of people don't believe I haven't been there. And then hopefully I'll maybe be getting in a trip either to India or maybe one to Central Asia sometime next year. With G Adventures, which is the company that works for me, or that I work with.
Oh my gosh, that is just amazing. So what is it that you love so much about travel?
It is by far the most educational thing you can do. You know, I've often said a year on the road is almost the equivalent of, you know, several years in college. And it's not as if you have to study or, you know, be lectured to. Just being somewhere and being in a place that's foreign and unfamiliar to you is going to cause you to pick up things and learn things through osmosis that you may have never known before. And especially, you know, I didn't grow up as a well-traveled person. Like a lot of people, we would go on summer vacations with my family. I think we went to Mount Rushmore once we went to Niagara Falls. You know, we had the pop-up camper. But no international travel. So it wasn't until I was an adult that I started to travel. And, you know, it's if I had one regret, it's that I didn't start traveling sooner.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And it's interesting when you're talking about summer vacations. When I was a kid, we did those road trips every once in a while. I haven't done one of those in a while, and I really want to do a road trip. And one of the things I'd like to do is I'd like to do similar to what you're doing. I want to see a bunch of national parks that I haven't seen before. Next year is the centennial, I think, the 100-year anniversary of the National Park Service. So it's a good year to do it.
Every year I usually try to do a big road trip somewhere in the United States and Canada. And in 2014, I did a 12,000-mile trip where I started in Wisconsin, ended up going all the way to the Northwest Territories of Canada, down through Vancouver and Seattle, and then driving back through the West. And, you know, there's a lot of great parks as well up in Canada, and I think a lot of people forget about that. I visited Nahanni National Park in the Northwest Territories, and I think it gets about 800 visitors a year. And wow, it's one of the greatest parks I've ever been to. Absolutely amazing, and very few people even know it exists.
Yeah, what, say the name of it again.
Nahanni. It is, you can't drive there. You can only arrive by float plane. So you have to drive either to Muncho Lake, British Columbia, or Fort Simpson, Northwest Territories. And then from there, you have to get on a float plane to fly into the park. But it's absolutely amazing. I've heard it described as Yosemite, Yellowstone, and the Grand Canyon all wrapped up into one. And it has one of the largest waterfalls in the world, Virginia Falls, that almost no one knows about.
Well, I'm going to have to put that one on the list for sure. We have Gary Arndt with us for another 5 minutes or so, wondering where you would like to travel in 2016, or what questions or concerns you have about traveling with world events. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. For people who feel like they don't have a lot of money to travel, Gary, do you have some thoughts on how we can make it more affordable?
Yeah, you know, the number one thing that is going to determine how much money you spend is where you go. So if you're adamant to go to, say, Norway or Switzerland, you're going to spend a lot of money. Now is actually a fantastic time to travel. It's the best it's been in years because of the strength of the U.S. dollar. It's very close to parity with the euro. We were at parity with the Canadian dollar at one point a few years ago, and now the last I checked it was around 76 cents, similar to the Australian dollar. So the dollar is very strong. So if you go to affordable places, Southeast Asia is a great example. Very affordable. You can easily find a room there for, you know, maybe $20 a night, a nice room, not at a large Western chain hotel, but something that's more of a guest house. You can eat very affordably. And I think a lot of the reason people think it's expensive is because they only see what's put in front of them, and that's usually going to be for resorts or someone else that's trying to push a product, whereas the more affordable options aren't necessarily going to be advertising.
Yeah, and for if we can't get off, I mean, you used to stay for weeks and months in various locations. If we can't do that, I mean, can we make a quick international trip?
Sure. It's definitely possible. You know, one of the things I get people that ask me, like, I'm going to be in Paris for a day, or, you know, Rome for a day, what should I do? Because maybe it's part of a work trip or something like that. And in a lot of the major European cities, they have these buses, these double-decker red buses. And what you can do is you can buy a hop-on, hop-off ticket and basically use this bus as your transportation for the city. And that will take you to all the big tourist hotspots. And so even if you're going to be, say, in Paris for several days, I say get it out of your system day one. Go to Notre Dame, go to the Eiffel Tower, go to the Arc de Triomphe, do all the touristy stuff day one, and then give yourself more time to explore the city at your own leisure.
Let's take a couple of calls before we have to let you go. Tanya in Fenimore is with us. Hi, Tanya.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to make a comment because I'm sending my 13-year-old son to Italy on a school trip this summer, and I am very excited for him. We've been talking about it for 2 years now. I went to France 2 years ago, and he just has always wanted to travel, and so I wanted to give him the opportunity, and I was going to go with him, but I decided it was probably better if he went without Mom, and I think he's going to have a great time.
I bet you he'll learn a lot. What do you think, Gary?
I think it's great. You know, one of the trends that has always been big in Europe is the idea of taking a gap year, a year between, say, high school and college. And that's starting to become more popular in the United States, and more colleges are encouraging it because I think it makes them kids a bit more worldly by the time they get to school. And a lot of kids confuse being away from home for the first time and being at college. And so you see a lot of freshmen who they party and they drink, and maybe they don't take their studies as seriously. And by traveling, you can get the being not at home out of your system, do so without accruing debt. And it usually makes you a bit more studious student, and it usually makes you figure out what you want to do when you get to school as well.
Let's go to Jose in Camp David next. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, first of all?
Oh, good, good. So what is your question?
I was wondering, how does he prepare for a trip? Because as a truck driver, I found myself in situations. I've traveled Canada and U.S. most of the places by now, and I've gone to places where I don't know the language, in Canada, like Quebec. How do you prepare for something like that?
Yeah, so how do you prepare to travel to a country if you don't know the language, Gary?
English has basically become the international language for tourism. So if you're at a hotel that caters to international travelers, even if it's a small hotel, there's a very good chance that somebody at the hotel will be speaking English. Likewise, if you're going to a place that has a tourist area, you know, the restaurants there will usually be able to speak English. And then it really depends on, you know, where you're visiting. So, for example, if I'm going to a place that speaks a Romance language, I can usually figure out the signs because there's something in French, Italian, Spanish, which is similar to English. Doesn't mean I get the full gist of it, but I can usually figure out what it means. Let's say you're going to a place like Asia. I was once at a hotel in a remote island in Japan where nobody spoke English, and I went to the restaurant, and there's only so many things you can ask for in a restaurant, and I kind of conveyed the idea I wanted to eat, and they brought me out a set meal, and it was one of the best meals I ever had in my life. So I wouldn't let the language, you know, be too much of a problem because English really kind of has become the default language. If you want to travel, it's the best language to know. And if you're in a place where people don't speak English, you know, it's always helpful to learn a few phrases. Hello, thank you, please, excuse me, things like that. And between those things, you can usually figure it out. And I should say, the only language I speak fluently is English.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us, Gary. I hope we can talk with you about your travels next year.
Thanks for having me.
Gary Arndt, world traveler, blogger at everythingeverywhere.com. He was twice named Travel Photographer of the Year. And Bill Martins joins me now for the next couple of minutes as we are in our year-end membership drive, and we are hoping you will take a few minutes and make your contribution to help Wisconsin Public Radio and to pay for the programs you value at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I'm hoping we can get a few more pledges here because we need eight more in about the next 2 minutes or so to reach our hourly goal. So make that donation now and support the programs you enjoy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every day. You get value from this program, probably get value from many other favorites on Wisconsin Public Radio, like the Kathleen Dunn Show or the People's Pharmacy and many others that you've come to rely on.
Yeah, WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. Support the exciting mix of shows you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Tis the season of giving, and you can do two good things when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio today. Your donation will support the programs you rely on, and you can ask for food for 20 when you give $5 a month, or food for 40 when you give $10 a month.
These thank you gifts provide meals to people facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. It all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The day is young. Make a difference before you even leave the house. house. Donate to Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you will have made a great start to your day.
That's right. We're looking for 8 more pledges in the next couple of minutes or so. Help out now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are going to talk about the Person of the Year coming up in our next hour. It's our big question. Who do you think the Person of the Year should be? But you still have time to make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.